the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Right Opinion. I'm your host, Ed Furtick, and we have with us today Holly Tanner co-hosting, and our guest is Carrie Jablanka of the Hudson of the Columbia County Office of Aging. Before we get going, I want to make some opening remarks. Radio just lost a great man. A few days ago, the father of conservative talk radio, Bob Grant, and he was a very popular conservative talk radio show host in New York, which is a little surprising that he was able to achieve that popularity in New York City. And in fact, eventually he was nationally syndicated. So he died recently, a few days ago, at the age of 84. So we miss you, Bob Grant. I remember listening to you when I was young, and you were very inspirational. And now we can move on, and let's go, Holly.
Hey, great.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Ed. Thanks for asking me to be here again today. Hello, listeners. It's good to be back on The Right Opinion again. I had a little break. I was filling in for Ed while he was out doing his thing before Election Day. And so after November was over, I was off the air. But I appreciate being asked to be back on, Ed. It's always
a
pleasure.
You are back.
Yes, it's great.
And I have to say, Carrie, that when I first approached Holly to come back to today's show, she thought that I was asking to come as a guest.
I did.
And why would you want a young person like me to be a guest about, you know, old people? She was like in shock. So
I said, sure, I can speak to that issue,
I have
but I don't
an
understand,
announcement
Ed.
To
what are
make,
you doing?
I have an announcement for those who haven't seen Holly Tanner.
Oh, dear.
She is a young person.
Oh, thank you.
Or
Ed.
Compared to everyone else in the studio right now. Is that correct, Carrie?
Age is just a number.
That's
thank
right.
You.
Age is just a number.
And the older you get, the
right.
more you say that, and the more hats you buy.
Oh, absolutely. As I say now that, you know, people say, how are you? And I say, every day above ground is a good one.
But, you know, that's I don't say that yet. But anyway, it was an apropos reaction for the type of show we're having today.
Yes.
Because a lot of people are a little nervous about getting older.
It is. You find yourself, and I've actually, and I appreciate you telling people how young I am, Ed. And yes, I feel very young, but I am. You know, I have a birthday coming up, and I do. I find myself now. I use my phone for lots of things, and I'm extending my arm now, folks listening at home and on the internet, to be able to read my phone. I find myself, you know, that eyesight thing. I'm like, wow, I'm at that point. Am I okay? That's great. But it happens to everybody. Happens to the best of us, you know.
Well,
getting older,
you're in good
we can't
company.
Prevent it,
Carrie can.
But we can help. Yes.
Carrie can have your eyesight adjusted.
Among other things. Carrie's going to do that today. That's great. You didn't know that, did you, Carrie?
I want to apologize to my guest and my co-host. I was a little hyped up this morning because I've received very short notice that I am going to be doing commentary later today on the Andrew Cuomo's State of the Union address.
Yes, I heard
along
that.
With Victor Mendolia.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big fan of short notice, but
right.
But it'll work. It'll work
it'll
out.
It'll be fine, yeah.
So when you arrived, I was busy trying to get ready for that, and I wasn't even ready for this.
You'll be on your game.
I'm trying to get on my game. So anyway, co-host Holly Tanner, take it away.
Yes, very good. Well, everyone, Carrie Jablanka, it's pleasure to be here to be able to co-host with you. I've known Carrie a very long time. Although, again, that'll be giving away. Apparently, there's going to be a lot of age-related jokes today. It just can't be avoided, unfortunately.
You can depend on me for that.
So, yes, I have known Gary a long time, and it's been a pleasure working with you. And as you mentioned when we were speaking before we were on the air, Carrie actually ran for public office the first year that I ran for county clerk. And so that was in 2002. And so we've known each other as a little bit even before then, but it's been about that long. And now you've gone from that venue on to your current position, which is the director of the county's Office for the Aging Program, which is so. But how did you go from, obviously it's still public service, but it's a little different segue than being an elected official. So what brought you to that, Carrie?
Well, I have spent most of my career in public service, one form or another. I started out my career as a social worker, direct practice social worker in Albany County. I was one of the founding members of the mobile geriatric team. And then I left there, and then I was with the School of Social Welfare at the University of Albany for some time. And I went from there to the State Office for the Aging, where I was in charge of program development for a number of years and implementing community services for the elderly and doing advocacy work. Then I left there, and I went back to the university, spent over 20 years with the Graduate School of Public Affairs, Rockefeller College. Mm-hmm. And so I retired from there, and so I guess I kind of flunked retirement. There was an opportunity to come to the Office for the Aging and continue that commitment to public service that I've had for a long time.
How did you hear about that opening?
Well, it was interesting. One of my former colleagues at the State Office for the Aging, who I'd stayed in contact with periodically over the years, called me up and said, you know, the Columbia County Office for the Aging is going to, you know, need a new director, and I think you'd be really good at it. And I said, well, I'm really flattered, but it's nice to be asked, but I've got a great, you know, great gig here at the university. I mean, it's a privilege to work in the university environment. And she said, no, I really think you need to talk to people about this. So I kind of just ignored that for a while, set it to the side, and then I got a phone call from someone else and said, I understand you might be interested. And I said, well, you know, if somebody, temptation knocks, opportunity leans on the doorbell, I think. And so I applied for it, I interviewed, and retired from the university at that point to take on the Office for the Aging. It was a great opportunity.
And when was that, Carrie?
That was in 2008. I started in May of 2008.
May of 2008, okay. And were you on the town board up until that point as well? When did that?
No, I finished the town board 2006, 2006,
okay.
2007.
Okay.
It was shortly after that.
Right.
I continued. I'm still on the zoning board.
Yes.
Zoning Board of Appeals. And, you know, active and, you know, they call it civic engagement. I've just always, you know, been involved in community and volunteer work and either, you know, teaching, training people, working in, administering different aspects at different levels of government. And so this, for me, my home county, I don't have to drive to Albany every day anymore, so that's really nice.
Well, I know about that. I used to commute to HUD on 52 Corporate Circle on Route 155.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad commute traffic-wise, but it takes a long time.
Yes, it does, especially in bad weather.
Right. Yeah. And the traffic is worse now than even, I used to commute to Albany as well, and it's much nicer to commute down 66 or, you know.
Really?
Coming into Hudson, it's yeah.
And I had a Jeep at the time. I was spending a ton of money on gasoline.
Right.
That's another topic.
That too. Well, so that's good. So you enjoy your what you're doing at OFA. It's providing a needed service. I understand.
Absolutely, it's been a terrific about 5.5 years. And what's kind of unique in some ways about Columbia County, if there's an old saying, demography is destiny. And if you look at the demographics of Columbia County, the percent of our population that's over age 60, 26% of Columbia County's population is over age 60. By that measure, we are the oldest, quote-unquote, county in the state.
In the state. I was just going to bring that up, yes. I know that from my work with retired senior volunteer program, yes, that we are the oldest county in the state as far as the age of our residents. So, obviously, there's going to be some need out there, and I think Ed was going to ask about what services.
Right? But now, I'm curious, why is that? Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that's kind of our rural and agricultural heritage, and
I don't quite get that. I mean, you mean older people stick around to farm land? Is that what you're saying?
Older people stay, younger people leave for job opportunities. Economic opportunity lies elsewhere, which is why economic development is so important for the county.
Yeah, I mean, but I would think that that would be true in a lot of counties.
Yes, it is.
And but we've got you're saying the highest number percentage of people over 60.
Mm-hmm. 20. So the county population is what, 63,096,
something like that.
So 16,219 people are over age 60. Almost 5,300 are over 75, and 75 is an important figure in the planning world, because it's sort of a proxy measure for service needs, for what are the kinds of services, support services that people need to remain independent in their own homes.
Do you have any information on life expectancy in Columbia County?
Well,
compared to other places?
Yeah, that's a good question, because at birth, life expectancy is, for men and women, is always a little bit different. But at birth, life expectancy is something like 73, 74, 75. Mm-hmm. But the older you get, your life expectancy increases, because life expectancy at birth, it's infant mortality and all of those things that happen to younger people, are part of calculating life expectancy. So if someone is 75, you can expect to live to, 80, 81, 82. In the county, we have almost 600 people over 90. And
wow.
Yeah. And one of our Meals on Wheels participants is 104.
Wow.
My goodness. That's amazing.
Wow.
Okay. So the Columbia County Department of Aging obviously has a lot of older people to deal with, more than I thought. What type of services do you provide? How can you help us?
Stay close to that mic, Carrie. Don't want to miss a word. And remember, we're older. We want to hear every word.
I keep pointing to the mic, and you just tell them,
close to the mic, Carrie. We don't want to miss a word.
I'm trying to work on eye contact.
It's hard. Radio is difficult. I had that problem.
Watch out with these young people. They'll smack you. I mean, they have no respect.
You're used to talking to someone and looking at them. I know it's hard. Yeah. Radio is different.
You know, we geriatrics, we'll give you a little slack here.
All right, I'd be quiet.
Well, the Office for the Aging is, we are like a single point of entry into the community service delivery system. We either provide a service directly, and there are other service providers. Social services provide services for older adults. The mental health department, mental health clinic provides services. The healthcare consortium, the health department, and then all, the nonprofits, Columbia Opportunities, Housing Resources. So it's a very rich mix of agencies that is historically generally referred to as the service delivery system. But the key is some services we provide directly. The ones that we provide directly include, because our mission, what drives us, is helping people remain in their own homes, connected to family and community life, maximize independence. Keep them out of nursing homes, keep them out of alternative living arrangements, keeping them healthy. And that's both good public policy, because it's much less expensive. The cost of maintaining someone at home is about a third or less is what the cost of some sort of residential care. So it's good public policy being written in dollars and cents, but it's also good sense, because the quality of life is so much better when you live alone. People call it aging in place. So we provide Meals on Wheels. Everybody knows about Meals on Wheels, which There was a Brown University study last year, and it was a good study. It was a peer-reviewed study, which is kind of the gold standard of research, that found that Meals on Wheels alone as a single service successfully delays nursing home placement. A lot of that is because I deliver Meals on Wheels a day a week. I have since I came here, keep my hand
in. Oh, that's
in.
Great.
Yep. And which, by the way, we always need volunteers because we run 24 routes a day, 5 days a week. That's 120 routes countywide.
And how does one volunteer?
And what's important about Meals on Wheels, yes, it's the nutritional aspect of it, but it's also the
social
daily well-being check. If somebody doesn't answer the door, we have a protocol that we go through to track them down. And we find people that are having a stroke in evolution. We find people that have fallen. And when you see somebody every week and you're the only person or the primary social contact, you pick up on things. And you get them to the doctor a little bit quicker.
So is there special training that's needed? I'm sorry, Ed. Is there special training that's needed to be the volunteer for Meals on Wheels?
Yes. We provide orientation. You know, we explain it to people. We take them out for, you know, they accompany us on a route so that they can see firsthand what it looks like. And then they get to go out, and we provide, you know, a manual for them. And then they go out for their first solo trip. They come back. We process that experience.
Yeah.
Answer questions.
And obviously there must be some sort of background check on the volunteer.
Yes, there will. Yeah, there that will begin this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because seniors, I'm sure one of the things that you'll talk to us about is seniors are, you know, vulnerable population as well to, you know, people, you know, we hear about it in DMV with scams, you know, they tend to believe people, they can be taken in very easily, you know, and tend to believe the best in people. And so I'm glad to hear that's something that's going to be going on with the background checks.
What
the
kind
volunteers.
Of meal can I look forward to?
Good ones.
Well, tell me about the meals and how often you get them. And
well, we provide a hot meal, noonday meal, 5 days a week. If many people have family, you know, who cover them on the weekends. If they don't, we provide frozen meals for the weekend so that they have something, you know, 7 days a week. Each meal provides 1/3 of the recommended daily allowance, you know, for a senior.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a varied menu. I'm trying to think.
Now, it's ready to eat.
Oh,
except
yes,
for the two a week that are frozen.
It is hot.
Hot and ready to go.
So you have vehicles that actually keep the stuff hot, or keep the food hot, or
we have thermal
insulated
bags,
stuff, yeah.
Special thermal bags that keep the hot meals, and they come in a it's made from recycled paper container, and then with clear plastic seals it on top, and so it holds the temperature, and that's really important. So
right.
that the meal when delivered has to be 140 degrees or more, each item in the meal. And the milk and the dessert that go out have to be 40 degrees or below. And that's a safety, you know, food safety concern.
Now, yeah. Carrie, this is no small undertaking, because another thing with Columbia County is we're extremely, and I know this from campaigning, we're a large county. So how do you determine the routes? Like, I'm assuming, you know, we try and plan out where how many houses do I deliver to if I'm going to volunteer? So that I can keep the milk cold and the hot stuff hot.
Yeah, the staff, the nutrition program operates from our main kitchen in Philmont, which is also one
of the
senior community centers, and it operates
from the trip kitchen.
Yes, from the trip kitchen.
Wow.
And the people, Amy Anderson, who's our nutrition services coordinator, and Lisa DiStefano, who is the assistant, they do all the routing. Lisa's specialty is knowing every turn, everything in the county, so that when a new person starts up on Meals on Wheels, we know what route it's going to be on, and then we figure out where in that route, you know, it needs to be. And the directions for volunteers are written, you know, got to pull out of the driveway, turn right. You know, it's very, very much step by step.
Do you find that people that are getting these meals are not eating the other two meals a day that they should be? Or, I mean, is this the only meal they're getting?
For many people, it is the only meal that they get.
Really?
Some people will eat part of it because when you get older and you're not as active, our appetites are
right.
not
okay,
and so they'll maybe save it for later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
that makes sense.
Yeah, it really varies.
How many staff do you have in the entire agency, not just the nutrition portion?
31 or 32, and that's a mix of full time and part time staff.
Wow. Okay, I thought it would be more actually.
Yeah.
It's a very condensed staff. That's good. And what's your budget roughly?
Budget's a little bit less than $1.8 million a year, which it's mostly state and federal funds. The county has historically been very, very supportive of aging services. And the last couple of years, individual towns are important. Geography is so important, called cultural geography, how people relate to the land. They know I live in Elizaville, I live in Canaan, I live in Chatham, I live in Ghent. And so the towns have started to contribute to supporting the nutrition program, which is great. And Canaan contributes, Kinderhook contributes, Stuyvesant contributes in both both cash and providing space. The town of Copaic provides space for the nutrition program in the town hall, which I think is just terrific.
Right.
You know, it brings people into town government and it builds relationships for them.
Would you say that, I'm sorry,
no,
honey,
go ahead.
Meals on Wheels is your main program? Am I right? Would you call it your main?
It's a key aspect, absolutely. I mean, we serve 70,000 meals a year.
Well, what's number two?
Number two is in-home services. So if people, we get older and we develop just age-related functional disabilities or sometimes it's a consequence of chronic illness, arthritis, vision. And it's just, doing the laundry, doing the house cleaning, getting in and out of the bathtub can be pretty daunting, for older people.
Sure.
And so we provide services. We contract with home care agencies to provide an aide that will go in and help people on a schedule, depending on what the tasks are that need to be done. They'll go in and help them with that.
Okay. Hmm. Now, by the way, before I forget, and we'll do this later on as well, how do people get in touch with your agency? How do people request services? Give us all the ways.
I was just going to ask that, Ed. Only I was going to say, let's say I'm a senior and I need help. How do I contact?
Yeah. Well, I read your mind.
Yes, you did. So good, Ed.
And you anticipated what I was going to say.
As you grow older, you learn how to read minds. Did you know that?
I did not.
Because you can't. Because we can't hear.
Do tell, Carrie. How does one get in touch with OFA?
Cool.
And do you advertise? Is there marketing? And do you have marketing in your budget? Like, would we see a billboard, perhaps? And if not, I think we should, because this is important.
Marketing is important. We are, unfortunately, a message in a bottle. Everybody knows about Meals on Wheels. They're not entirely sure where they come from, but everybody knows it exists. It's the other
stuff.
It's
like Santa. Yes.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a good point.
So what I always tell people is, which is why I give away all of these little blue pens. I give away these little blue pens say Columbia County Office for the Aging, 828-4258.
Very beautiful pen, folks.
828-4258. And that's all you really have to know. If you have a question about services, about needing help with anything, all you have to know is to call 828-4258 or come to our office at 325 Columbia Street in the Human Services Building. We're on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
And you will always be greeted and treated with dignity, respect, by very knowledgeable people, and we'll take as much time as necessary to figure out, just what the best way of responding to your request is.
Is there a website?
Yes. It's Columbia County
NY.com/DEPTS/OFA.
Okay, folks, grab a pencil for later on, because before the show ends, we're going to go through these numbers and website addresses one more time. So get a pencil and paper. And okay, so now that's your number two, in-house, in-home services, you call it.
Right, and we also provide transportation services for doctor's appointments, medical appointments. We contract with the Columbia County Healthcare Consortium, which is next door to us and on the same floor of the Human Services Building. And one of the things that's really important is that most of the care that older people receive, this is true in America and it is true here in Columbia County, most of the help is from family, friends, and neighbors, what is typically referred to as informal supports. Anyone who is any experience with being a caregiver of a family member knows how very, very difficult that can be. And so we provide respite services because we don't want people to get so overwhelmed by that caregiving responsibility that they throw up their hands and say, I'm not doing this anymore. I can't do it anymore. That relationship ruptures and someone is left high and dry. So we provide respite services where we'll provide an aide to come in on a specified basis, depending on the needs, to give the caregiver a break.
Nice.
So respite care is a really, really important service.
Yeah, I would think so.
Carrie, let's say if you had an unlimited budget, what would you like to do more of? What do you see as the biggest need in Columbia County for our senior population?
General transportation.
Yeah.
General transportation. People, we can arrange for somebody to go shopping for them, but people don't want to go shopping. I mean, they don't want somebody to shop for them.
Right.
They want to go shopping.
They want to do it. My mom is that way. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's like
she likes a specific, I want, the chock full of nuts coffee, not this,
And it's the social interaction you get.
Right.
Coming back from Senior Citizens Day this past May with our two Senior Citizens of the Year, where we'd been with, the lieutenant governor and a bunch of elected officials and folks in the state office for the aging and great food, music. I mean, it's really a nice event. And so we're driving back and, the two ladies, they were talking about where they, where they had grown up. And Stottville came up. And I said, that's interesting because I take the Stottville bypass going across Stottville Road and Atlantic Avenue.
Sure.
Everybody does. Yep. And I've always had these questions about Stottville. What's this? What's that? And they said, it's kind of hard to describe. And I said, are you in a hurry to get home? You want to take a little side trip? We'll go to Stottville.
Oh, nice.
And it was living history. It was absolutely
living history.
And when I got them back and dropped them off, I said, what was the best part of the day? And they said, going through Stottville. You have no idea how awful it is to feel trapped in your own home. And that was a very, very powerful statement.
Yeah.
So that's why I say transportation is really important for people to go out and run errands, to go out and shop, to socialize.
Well, what is the current status of transportation? What capability do you have, like, right now?
With the exception of medical transportation, we really have none.
Oh okay.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, the county does have a busing system in place that goes to different, but I think the marketing could be better on that as well.
The marketing could be better. The routing could be better developed.
It's a work in progress.
Yeah. And I know the county has been wrestling with that.
Yes.
It's not for lack of trying.
No, definitely not.
The county's been working on that for the 5.5 years
Absolutely.
That I've been here.
And I can say from running the Department of Motor Vehicles, I do know that seniors, their ability to drive themselves and to get out of the house is hugely important to them. And that's one of the main concerns that I see, that the children of elderly parents come in and ask me, what can we do? Mom or dad really shouldn't be driving, but we don't know how to, we don't know what to do. What can we do? And I know that's one of the most difficult things is that ability to drive, that seniors don't want to give up because it's their way. It's their ticket out of here. Just like when you're 16, you're ready to start driving. You don't want to give it up. And because of the lack of the ability for people to, especially because we're so rural, it's not like, when you're in Hudson, it's maybe a little different. You can just walk down the street. But
and when you think of all of the things that we do when we're younger and as we get older and are still, healthy and able to do things, any one of those that we were no longer able to do, think about what it would be like.
Well, I just want to say that you've been listening to The Right Opinion Show on WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, Hudson, Catskill. This is your host, Ed Furtick, Eddie F on Radio. You can tweet me at Ed Furtick at Eddie F on Radio. And we have co-host Holly Tanner.
Yes.
With us today, who is
very excited.
Also Columbia County clerk.
I am.
And our guest is Carrie Jablanka, director of the Columbia County Office of Aging or Department of Aging. For some reason, I can't get it 100% right. But thanks to both of you for being here. And does anyone need a break? Because we could have a music break if you'd like. We're good?
I'm good.
I think we're good.
The older people are good.
I'm fine.
The younger person is good. And okay, so I'm not going to go to a break song just yet, unless we run out of words, which is very doubtful. But I do have some announcements to make. First of all, the next Right Opinion show is the fourth Wednesday of this month, whatever that date is. And I should be telling you what the subject matter will be, but I don't know yet, so I'm not going to tell you. However, State Senator Kathy Marchione has just agreed to appear live on the Right Opinion on February 12th, which happens to be Lincoln's birthday.
Oh, great.
So that's going to be fun. She's going to be here live. She tried to make it once before, but had a problem. And she's making up for it on February 12th. Also on that day, Phil Grant will be engineering for us.
Wow.
It's always more comforting when Phil Grant is around pressing buttons and moving switches. And, you know, you can just rest easy and depend on him, and he's fun to have around. Thanks, Phil. And let's see, Holly, do
yes.
you have any announcements to make? You mentioned something to me about a veterans service of some
yes,
veterans discount.
We do. There are two things related to our topic today that I'll talk about, other than the driving things, and one of them being in Columbia County, and it's, I believe, in 40 counties across the state. We have something called Return the Favor, which is find and assist vets on record. Veterans, when they leave their service, are issued a form from the federal government called the DD-214. These are your
yes.
official separation papers, and it's a very important document. And what was found, this originated in Rockland County, actually, with the county clerk there, the wonderful Paul Piperato. And I just had this case yesterday, received a call from a sibling of a veteran who just passed, and they're desperately searching for this man's separation papers, and he didn't file them. Veterans don't file this document because it's, you know, it's like anything else. It's like your car title, you know, you'll need it when you need it. And until then, you put it away for safekeeping, and it's too safe. So the veterans card is to encourage veterans to file those separation papers with the county clerk, which is what you're supposed to do. We issue you an ID card, and it's good for discounts at any number of area local businesses. So you're supporting local business, you're supporting veterans who, let's face it, folks, my opinion is, I've talked with our state legislators about this, I think veterans should be able to ride state roads for free. They've served their country, they've given honorably, you know, they've given their time. So anything we can do for veterans, I would like to do.
I have an age related and veteran related story, if you don't mind, because I went over to a discount store in Valencia.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure I'm allowed to mention their name, so I won't.
Okay.
But they have very good, incredible sales there. So I saw a ski park. It was very nice.
Mm.
And the suggested retail price was like $240 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on sale for $40. So of course,
wow.
I went to buy one. So I'm at the checkout counter, and the cashier says, "Are you a veteran?"
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know why she asked. I get, maybe she asked everyone, "Are you a veteran?" So I said, "Yes, I am." So she was a young woman. She said, "Can you prove it?"
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Well, no, I don't. You know, I don't really carry anything around with me to prove it." I said, "Why?" She says, "Well, it's Veterans Appreciation Day, and you can get half off on
wow
jacket." So here comes the manager walking over. She had overheard the conversation. And she says to the young cashier, she goes, "Honey, guys this age don't lie about being a veteran."
Right.
I know. I just thought that was an interesting comment.
But Ed, and, that you have to come down and get your favor card now, because that is the identifier.
I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna be online.
Just bring your separation papers. There actually is now in New York State. You can get a designation on your license as well. However, it will cost you $12.50. That was another fight we're taking on with the governor. You're charging a veteran to tell people he's a veteran. Really, it's ridiculous. But
I'll bring my DD-214.
Yes, very important, very useful service, and it's been very popular with our veterans, and we're happy to provide it free of cost.
Awesome.
The other senior thing that we're doing out of my office, which actually started, it was an idea born out of OFA, is shredding documents. Senior Shredding Day, we call it, or KISS. Keeping information of seniors secure. It's the KISS program. We started in Greenport in November actually last year. We're going to different towns, and it's run out of my records management office. So what OFA found out, Michelle actually, was that in going and visiting with senior groups, and this is one of the scam things that we talk about, they don't know what to do with some of these documents that they have that probably shouldn't just be thrown in the trash. Mm. You know, credit card bills, my old license, you know, this, that, and the other thing, anything that has confidential information on it, bank statements. You can bring these documents to your town hall securely. They're secured at the town hall, and my office will pay to have these documents shredded. So look for that in a town near you. I'm going to Claverick actually on Friday and speaking with the senior group there about it. So we're doing the town of Claverick next, and we'll probably do it in we'll probably do Greenport again in November, since that's the, you know, we try to keep things consistent. So we're going to Claverick next. So those are my two announcements.
Thanks for those announcements, and you run a great operation over there.
Thanks,
at the Motor
Ed.
Vehicle Bureau.
Thank you.
And I hear you may be running for re-election.
I am. It's and not a rumor. It's true.
It is true.
I'm running.
It has been announced here officially.
That's
on
right.
WGXC
Holly's
for the first time.
For county clerk.
Holly Tanner running for county clerk.
Thank
once
you.
Again.
Yes.
And you better.
Thank you.
Can't imagine Columbia County without Holly Tanner's county. I don't know. It's
that's nice.
It's just
Ed,
like the
thank
two
you.
Go together.
Now, Holly, don't you also provide the senior ID cards?
No. No. No.
Okay.
We don't.
Yeah.
We should talk about that, though, because we could.
Yeah. I thought maybe I'm just recalling a conversation we
okay.
had a while
yeah,
back.
Okay. Yeah, that could be. Yeah. That could be. But we never move forward with it. But we could do that because we do the favor card. It's actually printed from our pistol permit system. It's something that uses the same card and the same program. So we could easily do something like that. I know, yeah, we also need education with seniors if they do ever decide to give up their driver's licenses. It's very easy to get the non-driver ID card. And that's something where we could probably use more education and maybe some outreach, because seniors don't understand that there is, you know, well, if I give up my license, you know, I need it at the bank or I need it here, what do I do? Yeah, so we can talk more.
Yeah.
Holly,
absolutely.
Do you have any further questions in regard to the budget before we move on?
Well,
to
actually, if I might, I'm just a little curious, because I was reading, I'm friends with all sorts of people on Facebook, and some of them are down in Dutchess County, and I noticed a conversation that took place yesterday with one of the legislators down in Dutchess about mandates and optional services. And so you mentioned a couple of things that I just maybe want to touch on, because, you know, one of the things that everyone complains about in New York State, and probably rightly is that we're so taxed. And, you know, are we so in the county level, obviously, we've been very blessed with, you know, I taxes only were up 2% this year, 0% last year, 0% mm-hmm. the year before. We run a tight ship in Columbia County. But however, the conversation that I saw regarding Dutchess was that the Office for the Aging is not a mandated service to be provided. And so maybe you could just address that briefly and talk about, you mentioned it, that it's good public policy to take care of our seniors. And obviously I agree with that statement. However, to someone who's, you know, struggling, working two jobs to pay the bills and the taxes and feed their family, you know, well, so someone can, you know, get a car ride, why are my tax dollars going towards that? And then also maybe just touch on why it's important to have this. Sounds like you're the umbrella agency for all these other agencies, maybe, like you're the feeding point to get the information out, maybe just so we don't talk about, well, if they're doing it, why are we doing it? Mm-hmm. You know, is there duplication of services, or are they all tightly integrated?
But you have about 3 or 4 minutes to explain all this.
Okay. That's what we call information and assistance, helping people connect with the services. Mm-hmm. Access, access, access. You know, people call up, I need help with, and I don't even know, you know, how to describe it. And so we'll help them sort that out. We will never tell anybody, we don't do that. It's, we don't do that, but mm-hmm. here's who you talk to over there. And if you need help doing that, you know, we'll help you, well, we'll help make the connection.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, that's the, you know, really the single point of access, because
okay.
some services have, you know, their entitlement programs have eligibility requirements. The only thing, eligibility requirement that you have for the Office for the Aging, you've got to be over 60.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of the in-home services, there are functional disabilities, you
okay.
know, that have to be part of it. So it's programmatic. It's important because it keeps people out of nursing homes. It keeps people independent. It keeps people less reliant on public services, which are expensive.
Right.
And it helps, you know, it helps keep the rate of taxes, you know, tax increases down. I just want to quickly, briefly mention also we provide health insurance counseling every year. When you turn 65 and you got to sign up for Medicare, the choices you have are mind-boggling, and we know that with all the health care reform that's going on and Medicaid redesign and whatnot, people are confronted with staggering choices. I mean, 65 is a few years back in the rearview mirror for me, and what a learning experience it was. And so during what's called open enrollment, that November, you know, the October to December period,
mm-hmm.
people have an opportunity to change their insurance.
Right.
And we've got really smart people that will sit down and walk through and make sure that the drug coverage you have, you know, the formulary it's called, that will cover the medications that you're on.
And the donut hole and the all of this stuff.
Yeah.
That's great.
Just a little personal feedback here. I suddenly got a letter in the mail, you know, you're eligible for Medicare, you know, here's your Medicare. I'm a retired federal employee, covered for the rest of my life. I have the same coverage as congressmen and senators. I don't want to change anything. You know, so I call them up, and they say, well, no, you have to take Medicare Part A. That's not an option. But Part B, you don't have to take. If you send us a letter that's notarized with two signatures, blah, 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 you don't have to take it. But in the future, if you want B, there'll be a penalty. So, well, what would I be penalized for? For saving the government money? I've had the same coverage for 22 years, and I don't need anything.
Oh, don't you,
you know,
love it?
So it's annoying. My sister, who's older than I am, she just was kicked out of her plan because of the wonders of Obamacare, and she's searching for other coverage. Anyway, I'm going on to another topic now, and I want people to pay attention, because as you get older, you shouldn't give up your rights. You shouldn't think that because you're a certain age, and I'm not a youngster, Carrie Jablanca is not a youngster. If you are able to work and you're qualified for the work, you should have the same exact opportunity to be employed as anyone else at any age. And in fact, there's federal legislation to that effect called the Age Discrimination in Employment Act. Now, the main thing you need to remember is that you do have skills, even though you're older, and you have every right to use them to earn money. Mm-hmm. Nobody should say to you, as some young person recently said to me, there comes a point in your life when you just have to kind of sit back and give younger people a chance. No. The younger person has to show that they can do it better than me. They have better experience, more experience, what have you. It's still a competition. You don't bow out just because, I mean, I feel fine. I have a right to work if I want to work. But anyway, so there's a federal law, the Age Discrimination and Employment Act. Carrie, do you know anything about that? Do you know of any problems that people have regarding employment and age?
It there's clearly problems with it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the
legislation.
We wouldn't have the legislation, which was passed in 1967. And it's interesting that it protects people age 40 and older, and it prohibits any that makes you old.
I'm covered.
It makes you aging, Holly.
You are covered.
You're covered.
I hate those little age bracket things on surveys. I'm like, I'm in another age bracket.
Here's the caveat to that. It's that when the organization that does not hire you or fires you because of your age, if there are a lot of people over 40, it becomes difficult to make a big deal about it. The older you get, the less likely it is that would happen.
Right.
Yeah, and older employees are some of the best employees you can have because they carry the institutional memory, the lived wisdom, the work habits, the commitment, the motivation. And there's a real concern, again, that back to this demography is destiny, when you get the baby boomer generation leaving the workforce, particularly in government, they walk out the door with knowing how to do everything. And so you got to plan for how do you retain workers is the best way, but how do you retain that knowledge so that you don't lose it?
Huge issue.
We're going to move on with this in a little while, but I want to mention that Tyson is coming up next with Zoom, so you better stay tuned and listen to Tyson. He's actually in the next room setting up right now.
Hi,
so Tyson. So Tyson is next. Also, at 1:30, yours truly, Ed Furtick, along with Victor Mendolia, will be commenting on Governor Cuomo's State of the State address. It will be the first time Victor and I are locked in the same room together. Uh-huh. Could be interesting. Victor, former candidate for mayor of Hudson. Ed Furtick, yours truly, former candidate for Claverack Town Supervisor. And the difference between us is that Victor lost by a lot less than I did.
I don't know if that's the only difference.
There are other
differences. Sides of the aisle.
but
that's good. You're working together. It's going to be a good
Victor
show.
Victor and I actually get along very well.
So do Victor and I.
Except for today.
It's going to be a good show. Well, today will be interesting.
We may not. I'm bringing my water pistol, Victor. Watch out. So anyway, back to age discrimination and employment. I urge everyone to Google ADEA, A-D-E-A. You mentioned, Carrie, that 26% of Columbia County residents are over 60. Mm-hmm. And you've seen a lot of these people because this is your business. Give us an idea, in your estimation, how many of that 26% do you think is able to have a job, like a part-time job?
I would say most.
Okay. Thank you. I thought you would say that. Now, I'm not going to mention names today. There's an organization in Columbia County that has 1,800 employees. And each year, on average, they hire four people over the age of 60 with a staff of 1,800. They hire four people over the age of 60 each year. 26% of the population of the county. There are companies out there that, number one, they don't seek out older people. When an older person approaches them, they think it's a little foolish. You know, hey, why would you wanna work at this point? You know, go home and relax. There are all kinds of reasons. But I mean, what would you say to older people in Columbia County and Greene County? I don't know what the demographic is, by the way, in Greene County, but what would you say to these people, Carrie, about their rights to employment?
If you want to work and you see an opportunity, apply for the opportunity. Pay attention to the questions you're asked, and if there's any hint that you're being screened out or discouraged, you can go to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission website, and there is a form that you can fill out. I think also New York State, the Division of Human Rights, handles that.
You just FYI, you can also file a complaint, actually, in small claims court about these things, about age discrimination in employment.
Yeah. Really?
It's unusual.
That is unusual.
But you can do it.
Which would be done at the town level, not the county level. The town of the employer is where you would do that, not
and because it is the age discrimination is prohibited in terms of any of the conditions of employment.
Yes.
Hiring, promotion, salary increases,
right.
Insurance coverage, any aspect of that. And also, you know, if people that are working and if you feel like you're being harassed, you know, singled out because, you know, and this is just, you know, friendly joking that goes on all the time.
Sure.
But if somebody's really, you know, getting on you about, you know, being an older person,
right.
You've got it, you know, you have standing to say something
right.
about
that. I mean,
that.
We're joking and laughing about, you know, all some of this stuff, but honestly, and I know Ed feels this way too, this is, you know, getting older, it's a very serious topic and it's important to make sure. And I would say, you know, that's why I'm glad, you know, we've got Carrie and the Office for the Aging in the County, because I hear great things and you're doing a good job. And so it is important, you know, we don't mean to make light of any of these situations that are going on. So would it be the same thing for someone who feels they're losing their job because of their age?
Absolutely.
Because I think it's the same place that we won't talk about just did that to a member of my family. So the same kind of, okay, interesting. That's good. You were going to have Carrie give out his contact information again, right?
Thanks for reminding me. So,
and there's just, you know, one last thing in terms of services that I do want to mention is we have 7 community senior centers around the county that they have meals, activities. We're doing fall prevention. We're doing Tai Chi for fall prevention. Uh-huh. We do nutrition education. How do you eat healthy? How do you know? How do you make tasty meals? Nobody wants to, like, no sodium, none of this, none of
that.
Right. No fun, no taste. And it provides socialization and provides people a lot of information. We have our main location in Philmont. We have Greenport. You go to our website and you can find information where all 7 of those are.
And that was www.columbiacountyny.com. And then there are department links. If you look down, I believe it's on the left-hand
side.
It says department links. If you click on that, you'll scroll down and find its alphabetical Office for the Aging. Or you can do the fancy backslash DEPTS/OFA.
Well, you've been listening to The Right Opinion on WGXC 90.7 FM. This is Ed Furtick. We're going to be signing off with...
Let's do the phone number real quick, Ed.
518-828-4258. Just remember, getting old ain't for sissies. We can help.
That's great. Good job, Carrie.
Carrie, you've been wonderful. And I hope your neck doesn't hurt you from going back and forth to that mic as much as you have.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity.
I'm sure he could find a massage.
Yeah,
right.
There's probably.
Yeah. Can you get a free massage if you're old?
Maybe a discount with your veterans card.
Okay,
thank you, Ed, for asking me to co-host.
Oh, well, and you will
be
back.
I'll be
Holly
back.
Holly Tanner will be back. She doesn't know when she'll be back. I don't know when she'll be back.
Let me know.
But she will
be
back.
Here.
Carrie might even be back.
Right down the
I'd
street.
Be delighted.
More to talk about.
Well, we're going to sign off with a song by the Reverberators, the cowboy song, as we get ready for Tyson. You hear us, Tyson? Hope you're getting ready. Here come the Reverberators.
Stay warm.
Well, I won't. Cowboy, so I could ride the range. I don't even want to know about these New York City games. Cowboy's life is a weary one. Yes, I know that's true. So when I get to feeling lonesome, I'll